from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim, in for Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, many of the 14,000 San Jose residents forced to flee rising floodwaters are being allowed to return home. The worst flood to hit the city in decades left some homes in nearly 8 feet of water and hundreds of people needing to be rescued by boat. We get the latest from city officials and learn why they were unprepared for the disaster. Then at 9:30, after a crushing defeat in November, the Democratic National Committee heads to Atlanta this weekend to elect a new chair. We'll talk with supporters of each of the two DNC chair frontrunners. That's all next on Forum. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. A relief fund for San Jose flood victims has been set up for the thousands affected by the rising waters that inundated their neighborhoods this week with little warning, even as city officials are now allowing many of the 14,000 evacuated residents to return home. They're cautioning people to treat floodwaters and their soaked belongings as potentially contaminated by vehicle fuels, chemicals, and raw sewage. We get an update on the latest in the cleanup and recovery efforts and better understand why city officials didn't see the flood coming. I'm joined now by San Jose Mayor Sam Liccardo. Mayor Liccardo, thanks for taking the time to talk to us this morning.
Of course, Nina.
It seems like there's consensus that water spilling from Anderson Reservoir caused Coyote Creek to overflow. But you said that the creek overflowed before it reached the level that you were told it would. So did you get bad information from the water district, or is it something else?
Well, let me be clear. I'm not the one who receives the information. We have Mercy Operations Center that had been up for several days, and they were in constant communication with the water district. Those are a city manager's team and officials who are knowledgeable about these issues. So I guess what I'm relaying is what I'm hearing through them. And what became clear was that we were seeing significant flooding, well below the levels that were expected for flooding in these channels. That is, the belief was that there was far greater capacity in Coyote Creek than we would believe based on what we saw.
So is this whole experience making you rethink what you need to know about the behavior of Coyote Creek?
Well, certainly. And, you know, there are some technical issues that need to be resolved and we need to figure out quickly because I know rains will continue this season. And so I hope that in collaboration with the Water District, we're going to start understanding better the data because the data we've been relying on simply has not been reliable.
Mayor, you also acknowledge that there may have been failures in warning people about the imminent flood danger once the city became aware of it. Have you pinpointed anything that the city could have done better?
There's no question in my mind there should have been door knocking. There were a lot of communications channels that were used, social media. We have an alert system, a text-based system, but there's no substitute for knocking on someone's door and ensuring that they have a flyer in a language that they understand and communicating with them the importance of getting out early. And as far as I can tell, at least in one neighborhood, that didn't happen. It did happen in other neighborhoods east of Coyote Creek where we were able to get everyone out safely.
So you're saying that you want to make changes to the emergency notification apparatus, basically?
Yeah, clearly, whatever protocol we were using didn't get notice to people soon enough because too many residents that I've spoken to have told me the first time they heard about the need to get out was when they saw a firefighter in a boat. And that's obviously too late.
Homeowners, property owners, they've suffered significant losses. What's the city doing now to help them get back on their feet?
We are encouraging folks to contribute to a fund that we've created through Silicon Valley Community Foundation. For flood victims and the families, we are doing all we can to try to deal with all of the recovery issues, whether it means getting garbage out of the street, helping folks get in safely, making sure that we get building inspectors in there so they understand what the damage is, We're also going to be working with insurance companies to see how we can make it easier for folks to be able to make claims where they do have insurance by providing city facilities for folks to be able to gather.
Do you have any estimate of how much damage the flooding has caused?
No, we're going to continue to assess that in the days to come. And then obviously we're reaching out to the state to apply for emergency assistance as well to help many of the families. We know there's going to need to be, with a disaster declaration, some public help.
Why? Do you have estimates of how many residents actually had flood insurance?
No, not at this time.
And are you confident that it is safe to go back? I mean, you were warning residents about, you know, raw sewage in the water, chemicals, other toxins.
It depends which neighborhood we're talking about. For example, in Rock Springs, we need to make sure that we've got a sanitary sewer pump that's working, and that needs to be brought online before we can allow anybody back into those homes. In other neighborhoods, east of Coyote, for example, we've allowed about two-thirds of the residents in those neighborhoods to go back, and we verified that it's safe. So we're doing this neighborhood by neighborhood.
Mayor Liccardo, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Sam Liccardo, mayor of the city of San Jose. We're also joined on the phone now by Jim Fiedler. He's chief operating officer of Water Utility Enterprise at the Santa Clara Valley Water District. Good morning to you, Jim Fiedler.
Good morning, Nina.
So we are hearing a lot right now that the city was told by the water district that the area wouldn't flood unless water flow topped a certain level, right? But it was clear that water began creeping into neighborhoods well before that. So how did you get it so wrong?
Well, first off, Nina, I just want to express from our board chair that he wishes to extend his heartfelt sympathies to those who are suffering as a result of their homes and valuables and property suffering through the flooding. We've received many questions like yours about the tragic events and that have occurred in San Jose over the last couple of days. But to get to your question, Nina, we provided the city intelligence that we knew of flood-prone areas in this reach of Coyote Creek. And so we estimated certain value of what the capacity of the stream would be at these locations and passed that along. Obviously, the site conditions varied. And again, this is not a engineered channel. It's a natural stream or river. And so conditions could have varied due to debris blockages, other erosion of the stream bank that contributed to the acceleration of flows in the area.
Well, how often do you inspect that channel? You know, reassess how much water it can handle.
Well, we have much inspections where we do routine maintenance work on a year-round basis. The particular stretch around one of those areas in question is property that's not owned by the water district. The area by Rock Spring is, in fact, owned by the city of San Jose. In fact, much of the streamland, unless there's been improvements made over the years, are not owned by the district. So we don't regularly maintain those, but provide information and really work in collaboration with the property owners.
So are you saying then, Jim Fiedler, that the area that flooded badly is actually an area that was supposed to be maintained by the city?
No, I'm saying it was owned by the city. I don't know what operations they had there. And they certainly work in cooperation with us to understand what's going on. But you need to understand, too, that this stretch of Coyote Creek that is flooding is in a flood-prone area, as you talked about earlier. In fact, in December, we sent notifications out to all residents that live in flood-prone areas throughout Santa Clara County to remind them that they are in a flood hazard area, to encourage them to get flood insurance and to be prepared in the case of events like the one that occurred.
Jim Fiedler, when was the last inspection of the channel done? I know it's very long. It's like 30 miles. But when was it done so that you knew that the information you had in terms of when it would overflow was accurate?
Yeah, I don't have a record of when we last inspected, but I do know that we have crews that go out. And even during the event, our crews were out removing blockages, removing fallen trees that occurred due to the high winds and flows to make sure that there'd be conveyance capacity. So we were being vigilant to the degree that we could to keep up with the event. This was a large event.
Is it just your agency that measures stream flow? I mean, I know with the Napa River, right, it's USGS. Are those the folks who maintain the gauges there and determine, you know, what constitutes flood level?
We maintain gauges, and so does NOAA also. And in fact, the California-Nevada River Forecast Center was also producing expectations of flood flows in this stretch of Coyote Creek along with us.
So if I may just ask again then, okay, if USGS also does this, how did that number get so out of date?
Well, again, I think
you're saying it's blockages and debris. I'm sorry. Is
right.
That what you're...
Again, Well, there's a couple different numbers here. One was the estimated capacity of the creek at this location. I think the mayor referred to 7,400 cubic feet per second. That was an estimate based on certain conditions that exist. And like I'm saying, as the storm rose and the flows in the creek rose, other factors could have contributed to eventually what occurred here. But what we do know is we had high flows in the stream, and they were caused by the storm we had on Monday. And those flows finally made their way through the Coyote Creek system down into this area.
What are you going to do now that it's become clear that the district does not know enough about the behavior of this creek?
Well, again, we'll certainly be working with our partners, and particularly the City of San Jose, because we share the concerns that have been raised by the mayor, to understand the performance of the stream here, to think about what improvements could be made in this stretch of Coyote Creek that could provide flood protection. To put it in some perspective, back in the early 1980s, there was serious flooding in North San Jose in the Alviso area. And as a result of that, the district embarked with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on an extensive flood improvement project from the Bay to Montague Expressway along Coyote Creek. And those are the type of improvements that we should take a close look at as we look in this mid-Coyote stretch of San Jose.
Well, I know I need to let you go, Mr. Fiedler. Thanks very much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Jim Fiedler is Chief Operating Officer of Water Utility Enterprise at the Santa Clara Valley Water District. Let me invite our listeners to join this half-hour conversation. The number is 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. If you were affected by the flooding, we particularly would like to hear from you. You can also email your questions or comments to forum@kqed.org, post them on our website, kqed.org/forum, or on Facebook or Twitter. We're joined now by Robert Salonga, crime and public safety reporter for the San Jose Mercury News, who's been on the ground in San Jose covering the flooding for several days. Robert, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You've been talking with the folks who were affected. What is the level of anger or frustration that you're hearing from them?
There's a lot of frustration. One of the most common statements I've been getting from scores of residents is what the mayor alluded to, getting little to no notice or not sufficient notice. I talked to some residents of the Rock Springs neighborhood that's most famously underwater in central San Jose. And, you know, a lot of them woke up, looked out the window, and suddenly there was water out there. They looked out the window, and there was a rescue boat. And, you know, there's a lot. Another resident told me that, you know, there were certain warnings in a few days before, but they didn't stress how bad it could be. So, you know, essentially giving these residents the impression that, you know, there might be a few inches of water in the streets that they'll have to deal with, minor inconvenience, and then they wake up and, you know, they're living in Venice.
Right. How bad was the damage? What did you see in terms of homes, both during the flooding and now that the waters have receded? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I was one of the first reporters in Rock Spring for the most waterlogged neighborhood. I mean, we're talking first floor stories almost virtually disappearing, cars, you know, disappearing. We saw the water level rise over the course of Tuesday morning. So, you know, a lot of that has receded since then, but no one's really being allowed back to really assess what's happening. So we haven't really gotten a great look at that neighborhood. In other neighborhoods along Coyote Creek, we barnstormed our way along the creek yesterday, and there's mud everywhere. You really can see kind of the footprint of where this flooding went. I mean, we still have parking lots where there are head high, you know, no parking signs that are barely an inch above the water. So it's still pretty extensive in a lot of places because of where they live.
And these neighborhoods, working class neighborhoods, you know, wealthy neighborhoods, what were they?
It's across the board, and it's a really good point that I think people need to pay attention to. There are some neighborhoods like the Nagley Park neighborhood that is a little bit better to do as far as there's really nice classic historic Victorian homes and that sort of thing. But then again, you go back down south towards Center Road in the Rock Spring neighborhood and neighborhoods east of Coyote Creek, and these are working class folks who are already, you know, stretched to the limit in trying to make it each day. I talked to you know, one resident who said, you know, these are people already struggling, and it's heartbreaking because they don't have the resources to absorb something like this.
Well, let's hear what our listeners have to say about this event. Rash in Santa Rosa. Hi, Rash.
Yeah, I was just wondering, when are our local governments that, you know, have these catastrophe things going to start investing in some drones?
All we need to watch the streams.
You fly a drone daily up the riverbed or the streambed, and you can see what's happening for the deterioration. You can monitor the water rising, and you can also use other drones with loudspeakers to go into neighborhoods to announce evacuation.
Thanks, Rosh, for registering that. And let's hear from Connie in Livermore. Hi, Connie.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to make an observation. This is so heart-wrenching. And again, these people don't have the money to absorb. Who does have money to absorb their ruined homes? I mean, just scores and scores of ruined automobiles. A little bit of advance warning would have allowed them to save some of their possessions. The displacement, the costs of that, I'm looking online at the San Jose Animal Shelter. The animal has doubled. They're, you know, they can't afford to keep all these animals affected by the flood, and, you know, all of the suffering that could have been avoided, not the least of which are 28 horses still trapped in cold, contaminated flood water, and they're unable to rescue them. A little bit of advance warning. Where are the public officials? You know, do they want to have the reputation of another American city being flooded, not the whole city, but this portion? Thank you for taking my comment.
No, thank you, Connie, for sharing your thoughts with us. And Emily writes, people need to lose their jobs and their paychecks for this. They are incompetent. Robert Salonga, do you have any sense? We heard Mayor Liccardo say that, you know, they should have gone door to door, that they're rethinking that. Any sense of why they didn't do that? And two, any estimates of how long it would take to really get people back on their feet again?
So it's a good question, and it's a little bit up in the air. What I can say about, you know, the alerts is particularly in some of the most affected neighborhoods, again in Rock Spring, where, you know, you see the photos and it's, you know, it's a city, it looks like a city underwater. That was a part of the creek that no one really expected to overflow. That's why you heard you know, the mayor and Jim talk about you know, capacity and things of that nature. This just wasn't anticipated. The fire department told us on Tuesday as this was happening that they did not expect this kind of flooding in that particular area. And so that might have influenced just how aggressive and how much urgency they stressed. As far as people getting back on their feet, I mean, in at least three large neighborhoods, Rock Spring and Nagley Park and the South Bay Mobile Home Park up in North San Jose, they're still not allowed to come back yet. There's still contamination risk, even though we do see some residents, you know, trudging their way back in and kind of braving those risks. But as far as people getting back on their feet, I talked to another resident in Nagley Park. And, you know, they're dealing with insurance, trying to figure out what's covered, what's not. Even if though they have flood insurance, there's still, you know, certain limits to what that covers, including contents. So in many flood insurance policies, contents aren't covered. It's strictly for the structure. So a lot of that's what's being sorted out right now as people are still, you know, kind of scooping the mud out of their homes.
Are residents complying with the city's insistence, those who are still evacuated, not allowed to come back, that they're still complying with the city's orders to stay away until they get the all clear? Or are you seeing people trying to go back into neighborhoods?
I've been on the ground since Tuesday, and I went back. I was back yesterday, and no, there people are out there, mm-hmm. and you know, there's only so much the city can do short of installing a police barricade to keep people from checking out their homes. And that I can understand the instinct and the impulse to see what happened. And so those orders, I think, are important because we can't underestimate the contamination risks. There were dumpsters in these flood areas. You know, a lot of stuff is in there. I was face to face with that water for 2 days, and it is not pleasant. And it definitely feels like and looks like a contamination risk. So I'd like to echo, you know, the city's thoughts on trying to stay away out of safety's sake. But I also understand and have seen in several instances people, you know, braving it, and because they want to see what happened to their homes.
Yes. Let's hear now from Justin in Sebastopol. Hi, Justin.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask about Coyote Dam and Anderson Dam, that I guess they both feed into the Coyote Creek. Over time, debris washes down and dams get filled up with debris behind them and can hold less volume, less water. During the drought, did they get any of the debris out so that they could have held more water volume behind the dam? I mean, someday those things fill up and they'll have to do it anyway.
Yes.
Would it have helped if the lakes could have held more volume?
I think you're hitting a very important question here, which is just really, yes, how much assessment has been done in terms of how much water could be handled and based on any vegetation growth or other debris during the drought. Thanks so much for registering that. And Steve asks another question. He says the 101 northbound flooding in Morgan Hill only lasted for one day. And on day two, the flooding was gone and there was no evidence of water anywhere nearby. That led me to believe the flooding was caused by a levee or dike failure, which was repaired rather than just by the creek overflowing its banks. Robert Salonga, are you getting any intel from officials about what they think that the true cause of this flooding was?
As far as 101 goes, I believe there was some sort of break in Morgan Hill that allowed in which that happened. But I can't speak into too much detail about what happened there.
And let's hear from more of our listeners. Aaron in Fairfield. Hi, Aaron.
Hi there. I feel like a lot of people are having.
Aaron, I think we lost you. Hopefully we can get you back before the end of the half, but it's very quick. Let's hear now from Jeff in San Jose. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm calling from San Jose.
And Jeff, were you affected by this?
Oh, yes. I live on Coyote Creek.
Oh, my goodness. What happened? Tell us quickly, if you could.
Sure. Okay. The thing here is that this happened 20 years ago, so we've been paying attention to how the river flows, how the creek flows. And one of the things that I got on Sunday was a memo from the water district that I got through another source. And the memo was sent out by the water district saying, quote, that storm flows along Coyote Creek would not impact the William Street or Nagley Park area. However, it would flood in the Rock Springs area. So I took this down to the fire department. I tried to call the emergency operating center. But it was closed Sunday, you know, it was a three-day weekend.
Jeff, who do you hold responsible for what happened?
I'm not going to go there.
Well, tell us quickly how you're picking up the pieces. What are you doing now?
Well, the water district knew that it was going to flood in Rock Springs, and no warning went out to those people. And at the same time, they said there would be no damage in the downtown area, but there obviously was. It's a repeat of what happened 20 years ago.
Well, Jeff, I'm very sorry to hear that you were affected, and I appreciate you calling in. I also want to thank Robert Salonga, crime and public safety reporter for the San Jose Mercury News. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
And earlier we spoke with Mayor Sam Liccardo, mayor of San Jose, and Jim Fiedler of the Santa Clara Valley Water District. Up next, we talk about who will lead the Democratic National Committee. This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim, in for Michael Krasny. Do stay with us.